In a world where podcasts have become lame and stale.
And now we see on line 33 of the Louisiana tax code that
two men have come to kick it up a notch.
And you see these tax code laws are in place. They're like, who the hell are you?
Ben Heckendorf.
Tell me where the president's dog is.
I will never tell you where the president's dog is.
Tell me or I'll shoot you in the foot.
Never!
Jason Jones.
What the hell is that?
It's a giant asteroid, man. Headed directly toward Earth.
How much time is left to stop it?
One day.
That's six more than I need.
From the internet that brought you a dancing baby and spyware comes the BenHeck.com podcast. On a good day, it's a great podcast. On a bad day, it's the best there is.
Hello and welcome back to the BenHeck.com podcast. We're still alive edition, episode 73. I'm Ben Heckendorn.
And I'm Jason Jones.
And we're here today to rap about your rights, because right now you're in trouble. Dragnet.
So you're Joe Friday now?
For information, I spent a pleasant evening in the company of Connie Swale.
The virgin Connie Swale?
Dun, 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 dun.
That's Strebeck.
Will I see you later? Of course, I'm wearing your underwear.
And then Christopher Plummer is like a cult leader.
Christopher Plummer's awesome.
Hell yeah. I couldn't believe that he'd never been nominated for an Oscar until this year. That was
really?
The first time. Yeah. He's like 80-some years old, and he's been in all kinds of shit over the years.
It seems like he's kind of had a resurgence of late.
Yeah. Yeah, he's in a lot of stuff.
Yeah, and Sound of Music, of course.
Yes.
Anyway, so let's see. What are we going to talk about?
Natal.
Natal?
Yes.
Well, apparently its name is going to change.
Yeah.
It'll be the peripheral formerly known as Natal.
That's something I don't really get with that. I don't know, maybe it's just because we're, you know, into video games, so we're more aware of this thing, and I suppose the general public really isn't, but the thing's been known as Natal, Natal, whatever.
The Wii was called the Revolution for quite a long time.
I know. But it's just, it's kind of like what it is at this point.
Of course, you know, when they went to France, they're like, here is the Nintendo Revolution. And they're like, we don't want that.
Then they're like, oh, shit.
Let them
we need
eat
a new
cake.
Name. But,
what's
yeah.
news from Versailles, Marie Antoinette? What does...
what does somebody command? What does Napoleon command?
So I watched my Patton DVD last night, a Blu-ray.
Blu-ray,
finally.
Nice.
Yeah, his eyebrows really only look fake in the opening sequence. You know where he's
where he's up in front of the flag and all.
Yeah,
that. Not when he's like shooting his guns at the plane.
That's awesome.
His pistols.
What does he say? It's like pearl-handled revolvers. Or ivory, not pearl. Only a what New Orleans pimp would have pearls on his pistol. That movie's so awesome. Because he's such a bastard, but it's great.
Yeah. He was the man.
They should make a Patton game.
That'd be awesome.
Yeah. He'd be like this, you know, quick time event where I just slap a soldier.
Yeah. And shoot at planes with pistols.
Let's see. Awesome. Oh, I actually bought a second Xbox Live indie game today.
Wow.
It's like this, what is it called? It's called Breath of Death 7, The Beginning.
Okay.
It's kind of a retro SNES-style RPG.
Hmm.
It's really well done. It was $1.
Wow, nice.
Yes. It's a lot more polished than, you know, the top indie game. I made a game with zombies in it. What is with zombies? Maybe that's what we should discuss.
I don't know what
it's
the
like
deal is.
Women
with
have their fucking vampires and guys have zombies.
Yeah. And I really could give less than a shit about either of them, for the most part.
I like the movie Zombieland.
So I don't know where that leaves me. Yes, I mean, Zombieland was fine, and... Yeah, and Dracula's cool.
Do you think it's because we live in like a kind of an emasculated world, and you know the men go to their cubicle desk jobs and wear their J.J. Abrams glasses, and they kind of feel like
get some of those.
They have no control in their life. So a zombie apocalypse is like, what would I do during it?
Maybe.
And that's kind of their wishful thinking.
Could be.
Then how do you explain vampires?
Then women apparently want to get their blood sucked out and live eternally or some shit.
Well, a wolf guy in the Twilight movies like never wears a shirt, apparently, so that's probably the appeal.
So I can see where women would like that, I guess, but like most women like fawn over Edward, who's just like this dull, bland, nothing of a person, no joy at all, and then Bella can't fuck him, but she wants to be with him forever, and she wants him to turn her into a vampire.
So what does she get out of it?
I don't know. She's just mopier than shit unless he's around.
Now, every time I go to Rotten Tomatoes, like each passing year, the cast pictures of Twilight, like Kristen Stewart, like looks more drugged up every time. I don't know how they do it. She's like,
yeah.
I don't understand that.
I was reading a thing on IGN today where they were doing a smackdown of sorts between True Blood and Twilight, and of course True Blood won hands down. That show actually sounds kind of cool. I might have to check it out because it sounds like it's just vampires being vampires, and it deals more with like social themes. Like I guess in True Blood, vampires are kind of a known element in society. It's not
right.
Like they're mythological. People are aware of them. The vampires have like jobs and whatever.
Oh, okay.
And then they
so they make it like more of a class struggle or
yeah,
a social
and that sort of stuff. And it sounded kind of cool. And they're like, and you know what? People have sex in this show. And all that, you know, it's not like this bullshit in Twilight where people just kind of, like, leer at each other all the time. And
that's so the moms and little girls aren't offended.
Oh, of course it is. Well, and the whole thing with Twilight is, I mean, if you boil it down, it's basically like a wait until you're married and only have sex to have kids.
Oh,
type
that's right.
Thing.
There's celibate Christian vampires?
Yeah.
Or Mormon vampires?
Well, because he'll kill her if he, you know, screws a human or whatever.
You know, I only saw the first movie once a long time ago, and yeah, he seemed really boring. I mean, he's like, needs to be like, you know, in reality, like if he was like a bad boy vampire like Tom Cruise.
Yeah.
I could see that being more attractive for women.
Yeah.
Oh, you see that? What was that fucking show advertised during Lost? The Gates? Do you see that
oh,
shit?
Oh, God. What is that?
Desperate
trash?
Housewives with vampires, apparently?
Yeah.
Oh,
just
vampires.
Just like trash.
Oh, ABC. That's going to be a one and done.
Yeah, yeah. That'll go the way of Flash Forward. A show I never watched.
Well, it's better than Flash Sideways.
What?
Oh.
What? Flash Sideways is awesome.
Flash Sideways was a complete waste of time.
What are you talking about?
As was the temple.
What are you talking about? The Flash Sideways was basically like, you know, the resolution of all the characters.
But what was the resolution? They go to heaven?
Yeah.
I did think it was kind of funny, you know, when the end of the show, we're talking about Lost now, by the way. Spoiler warning. No warning, we're going to spoil it. Where, you
they're
know.
All dead.
When they're all dead at the end.
And loving it.
And what was it? Like, Jack says, we got to meet his dad. He's like, Christian Shepherd.
Mm-hmm.
And Kate's like, Christian Shepherd. And like, she like.
Yeah.
Responds to the name because it's so obviously a.
Oh yeah, it's
pretty
a
blatant.
Allegory.
What you know what the point is,
hmm.
And then of course it turns into like this big religious ending.
Yeah.
So. Yeah, would have actually been happier with the island being purgatory.
See, my summation of the finale was that it was emotionally satisfying and intellectually lacking. But
yes.
I'm fine with that.
Though. I would agree with that. I did notice. I don't know if you picked this up, but. All the flashbacks they had were kind of like from the first couple seasons.
Yeah.
So I think they knew like all the people that stopped watching like in season 3 probably watched the finale. So
yeah.
Ooh, remember this shit when you still watch the show?
Yeah.
Like Shannon, for instance.
Yeah.
Like, anyone who watches the later seasons of Lost knows that Saeed pines for his lost love Nadia.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right. But then he ends up, and then Nadia's in his purgatory afterlife.
Yeah.
But then he ends up with Shannon, some dumb blonde he knew for like 2 months.
Yeah, that was the one thing in the finale that I thought was kind of weak. I was just like, really? This is Saeed's, like, soulmate or whatever? You know, it, I don't know, it just didn't really make sense to me.
But you see, the thing that's cool is they could actually make spin-off shows.
Well, yeah, they could have, like, the Miles and Sawyer buddy cop show from the Sideways timeline.
But wait, they got off the island, right?
They did. So, yeah,
so
like,
Lapidus,
all the people
Miles,
who survived.
Kate, they could all, like, be hanging out and stuff. You're like friends.
And then you could have the Hurley and Benry on the show
and Desmond,
on the island.
And Desmond, because he's not still on the island, right?
He was? Was he?
Did he get
off
the island?
Or was he on the plane?
How? No, I don't think he got to the plane, because remember, Lapidus, Miles, and...
Didn't Desmond die?
No, I don't think he did.
Or
remember?
Did he get the hell out of there?
Because Jack puts him onto the rope ladder.
Yeah.
And so when Hugo or whoever
pulls him out,
it's
yeah.
Desmond, not Jack.
That's right, because Desmond comes out, and he, at that point, Desmond's kind of like, what the hell? He's like, this isn't what I thought it was.
Right.
Because when he was jumping between everything, he was thinking, oh, this is, you know, our future, and he's like, what's going on the island doesn't matter, and but then he realized it did matter. So,
or,
yeah.
Or, yeah, Ben and Hugo's island adventure.
Yep.
I was, just like in Battlestar Galactica, I was glad when Gaius Baltar made it through the entire thing.
Yeah.
I was glad when Benry, who's basically the same character, yeah. made it through all of Lost.
Yep.
That was
and
awesome.
Sawyer made it.
I really was surprised he made it.
I think he was such a fan favorite that they couldn't screw with him. And he's the man.
So by making it, he flies off in an airplane and then goes to purgatory?
See, that's the thing. The one thing is that it's very open to interpretation, I think, because, like, when I first watched it, I'm like, oh, okay, they all got off the island, and they went off and, like, lived normal lives.
Well, they did.
You know, like, Sawyer and all them. And then, you know, they eventually died, but then
they met up in limbo.
Meet up in this limbo, and then they had to kind of hang out there until everybody realized they were really dead so that they could all move on together so
Which
nobody got left behind.
Which is a Catholic belief, isn't it? That everyone goes to limbo until Judgment Day, and that at which time you get passed on into heaven.
Is that all that works?
I think so. I can look it up real quick. I'm pretty sure that's Catholic,
I went to a
though.
Catholic school for 2 years, but I don't have any goddamn idea.
You turncoats?
Yeah.
Well, maybe you're a brown coat.
Oh.
Catholic... limbo.
See, the one thing I... Now that I have time to think about it, I keep trying to process if the island... Like, if they were actually alive on the island.
Hmm.
Like, I was thinking maybe they all died in the plane crash, and...
Maybe the island's their test.
The island's their test, exactly. And so... Because most of them, well, actually all of them were, like, flawed in some way. And so for them to be able to, you know, move on to the afterlife, they had to, like, prove themselves to be worthy. And so that's what the island was, is basically, like, kind of the testing ground.
Okay, I looked it up. Actually, it's more like purgatory. Purgatory is the condition okay. and process of purification or temporary punishment in which the souls of those who die in a state of grace are made ready for heaven.
Yeah.
And then I believe the idea is you sit there until Judgment Day, at which time then you go into heaven. So everyone, but then during that time, you don't think any time passed.
Yes, yeah.
Well, I mean, that show was definitely, you know, it was definitely a science versus faith kind
oh,
of
yeah.
show, I mean, all along.
Yeah.
And, you know, maybe the main arch is that, is that Jack turned from a man of science to a man of faith.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Yeah. Yeah, I thought it was very satisfying, like, all the character stuff in the finale, except for, like, the Saeed Shannon thing, which was kind of weak, but...
Oh, and
like,
Time Man got off the island, too.
Yeah, that's right. But you had, like, the great moment I wanted since the first episode, where Sawyer and Juliet met up again. They didn't quite have that cup of coffee, but they made a date to have one.
Yep.
And there was...
In heaven!
Yeah. And there was the cool moment between them where, like, the thing got jammed, and so Juliet's like, unplug it. to restart it, and that's kind of similar to like what they had with the bomb on the island
her,
because they were trying to like reboot everything by, you know, firing
just like
off the nuke. So I thought that was a nice little touch. But yeah, it was interesting, like, through it all as it went on. Like, Sawyer had always been, like, my favorite pretty much from the beginning. But I kind of liked how the whole relationship with him and Juliet kind of snuck up on you.
You know, well, basically, like they were, like, stuck on the island, so...
But it was like, you know, they kind of knew of each other, but then they had the whole season 5 stuff where they got stuck, like, in 1977 or whatever the hell it was. And then it does, like, the jump forward 3 years, and boom, they're, like, living together and in love and all that, and you're like, oh, that's interesting. Because she was always kind of, like, the other woman for the Jack-Kate dynamic,
right,
like, at first, you know?
Yeah, wasn't it, like, end of season 4, whenever he's swimming back from the helicopter after he jumps out?
Yeah, and she's sitting on the beach.
Yeah, and she's, like, all depressed and drinking something, and he's like, oh, what's wrong with you, Blondie? And then...
Yeah.
You can kind of tell, yeah, maybe they'll get together because they're both stuck there.
Yeah, but I thought that was neat, and so them getting back together became, like, the reason for the existence of Season 6 for me, so the fact that they did was awesome. Because quite a while ago I realized I cared more about the characters than the mysteries on the island, and so maybe that's why I liked the end so much. And for the most part, the mysteries were... mostly dealt with, I thought.
For what the island was.
It was like a plug for evil.
What the hell is a plug for evil?
See, I kind of think that, like, hell was what was in that hole. Because, like, when the plug got pulled out, the room started going, like, all kind of orangish red and, like, crimson colors and stuff. And the guy at one, like, Jacob or whatever, said it was, like, a cork keeping evil out of the world.
So maybe the smoke monster was Satan or something, or some or demon,
or something like that, you know. But
because wasn't the gag that if he ever got off the island, he could be destroyed?
Yeah, he could just destroy the world. And if you take that, you know, at face value, then the fact that maybe that was hell underneath there, you know, like the gateway to hell or whatever, then that makes some sense.
Maybe the island was the Garden of Eden or something.
Yeah. But well, I don't know, it makes sense to me. I mean, I didn't need everything explained, and it's like I look at it like, you know, there's a lot of things in day-to-day life that we just accept, and we don't really know why it is, you know? So it's like, why should Lost be any different?
Yeah, actually, things in life that happen are stranger than things that happen in movies.
Yeah.
Your coincidences in life are so ridiculous, you wouldn't even accept it in a movie.
Oh, God, yes. Yeah.
Okay, well, let's move on .org. So apparently the Microsoft Project Natal is going to be $150.
Yeah.
And have a name change. I don't know what to.
Which, that price shocked both of us, I think, because it was way above either of our estimates.
Yeah, I thought like 100.
Yeah, and I was thinking like 70, but 150? 70. If they want that thing to work, $70. I still say that.
Yeah.
If this thing comes out at $150, colossal flop. It'll be like a virtual boy.
Their justification is going to be, oh, well, you can have multiple players without having to buy multiple controllers, so therefore $150.
It's true, but people don't think that way.
They're just printing themselves money Apple style by doing that. I mean, what is it? It's two web cameras, an IR light, and a microphone.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, obviously they spent a lot of money on the development software, but...
That thing is not going to sell if it comes out for $150.
I don't think the Move is going to sell either.
No.
Anyone that wanted that shit already bought a Wii. The end.
The only chance, like, either of those things have is if they show up at E3 and they have some sort of just killer freaking game for them that it's like, oh my God, that's really awesome.
Oh, well, there's
but I don't see that happening.
Video I saw on Joystick, what was it? They were playing that ball whacking game that was at last year's E3, and then some sort of rafting game where you do this to move the raft.
Yeah, it's like who gives a shit?
I don't want that shit.
No.
Another thing I want to know is what size living rooms do you need to play these games? I mean, everyone's always like, it's like.
Yeah, they're in some sort of massive, know, whatever, banquet hall or whatever when they're playing these things.
Yeah, well, I mean, think about it, like...
But most people's living rooms aren't that big.
Like, you or my television, I mean, would we really have that much space? Unless it's, like, a super wide-angle lens, which it can't be because all these demos... You know, like, if you take a picture of your cell phone camera, it's a really wide-angle picture.
Yeah.
I mean, if you're going to be that close to it, you would have to have a wide angle. But these demonstrations we see, people are, like, you know, 5 or 6 or 10 feet away from it.
Yeah.
So...
Yeah, I don't know. Well, we've smelled fail on that thing since it was announced, and at that price point, it's pretty much guaranteed, but they haven't officially, you know, said that's going to be the price. That's just what's out in the rumor mill at the moment, so...
I don't know. But Tech rumors turn out to be true a lot.
Yeah, oh yeah. Who knows, maybe they let that slip out just to gauge reaction.
That could be.
You know, to see, oh, wait, people think this is way ridiculously high. We need to go lower.
I could see $100. I mean, I think all of you, like, 50, 60, 70 other people are insane. But 100, I mean, I could see that. When I think there's going
to be... I could see them pricing it at 100. I still think it's fucking nuts if they want it to be a success, though.
Well, if that's fucking nuts, what's 150? Like,
off
fucking super chocolate... chocolate-covered nuts?
Yeah.
What is a move? $90?
Something like that. I mean, yeah, if they did like $100 and it came with like a cool game, not like some bullshit Wii Sports thing,
which is
like
what it'll come
a
with.
Good game, you know, then maybe, but... Because, I mean, to me, I look at it like, people go to the store, they're going to think I'm buying a controller. That's what I'm buying. Controllers cost like $50 to $60.
Mm-hmm.
They don't cost $100.
And the Wii is like, what, $60? And that's like the most expensive one?
Yeah, like if you get the Nunchuck and everything.
I know, the Wii Motion Plus, but I assume... Well, was that with Wii Sports Resort?
Yeah.
I wonder how many people have that thing.
I think it sold pretty well. But, yeah, I don't know. That thing's going to have to be pretty goddamn impressive to justify a price point like that.
Well, I don't want to play games like that. I mean...
I don't either.
Nobody... The thing that just does not... I don't understand why Microsoft cannot figure this out. Anyone that wanted that already bought the Wii, you're just wasting your time.
Mm-hmm.
The Wii already won that space. You're not going to get any sales from it.
Yeah.
And tons of people have all three consoles anyway, or two consoles. I mean...
Yeah.
I mean, not a lot of... Well, the people who only have one console, and it's the Wii, don't know what the fuck E3 is. They don't care about Microsoft. They don't care.
Mm-hmm.
It's pointless. And they might try to sell it, but they're not going to go out and buy like a $300 Xbox and a $150 sensor bar just to do something they can already do with their Wii.
Yeah.
It just boggles my mind.
Yeah.
Microsoft needs to say, oh, look, okay, cell phone market, we lost. Media player market, we lost.
They didn't lose in the cell phone market.
Okay, that's maybe not the best example.
Yeah, like Windows Mobile sells massively.
Okay, I guess I sounded like an Apple person there. But I'm just saying they should like pick
the iPhone's like third place in mobile market. BlackBerry and Droid are ahead of it.
Droid is pretty badass, I'm not surprised.
Yeah.
Really, the Droid's already ahead?
Mm-hmm.
I'm not surprised. I mean, the resolution's much higher. It's cheaper. The screen is better. The apps are better. It's not made by Apple.
The name sounds cooler.
Everything's open. It has a fucking keyboard.
Yeah.
Oh, so what's this, like, no more unlimited data plan on iPhone?
Yep, starting Monday.
Now, remember, everyone,
AT&T
are awesome.
If you're not already a subscriber.
Translation? Oh, we have a whole bunch of 3G iPhones we want to get rid of. Therefore, we're going to force a stampede to buy them before this cutoff date so we can just, you know, get rid of our inventory before the Apple 4G comes out.
Oh, sure. Plus, they just want to try to save their fucking bandwidth, which has been getting raped by that thing forever, so...
I wish... Well, of course, Apple or AT&T are not going to admit this, but they don't allow Flash because Flash would eat all their bandwidth.
Of course they don't.
And they don't like the idea of control because... Oh, gee, if I had Flash, I could go to Hulu and watch TV shows, or I could do such and such. Although, you know, you can go to, like, abc.com. I saw this on the iPad. Like, the websites let you catch up on old shows. Mm-hmm. They actually have apps for the iPad already, and they look great.
Yeah.
So that works.
But yeah. I'm waiting to see if there's an actual antitrust lawsuit that goes anywhere against Apple, though, because Adobe, because there's the whole Flash thing and all that, and so Adobe actually made it so that you could program in the Flash software but compile it against, like, the, you know, Apple framework, whatever the hell it is, you know, to be able to actually make apps for, you know, iPods, iPhones, right. iPads, whatever. So they went ahead and did that, because they're like, okay, fine, we'll just make it so our software will be compatible and, you know, do what it needs to do. Apple blocked that, like, within a month of it happening, because Apple wants to force everybody to use their products, because guess what? Apple knows that for anybody to develop on their platform, they have to own a fucking Mac.
Mm-hmm.
And so, oh, guess what? You have to go and buy one of our overpriced computers to be able to do anything for
the
our
Trojan
mobile
horse
platform.
Of the iPhone.
Yep. And it's like if Microsoft, you know, we say that a lot on this show, but it's like if Microsoft did that, the government would be on their ass right now. The public would be up in arms about it.
But Apple gets away with it. Well, they won't get away with it forever.
No, they're getting to the point that I think some of that shit's going to bite them in the ass pretty soon.
My friend Chris was trying to tell me that an Apple laptop costs the same as a similar featured PC laptop. And I'm like, no, you're completely insane.
No.
And he's like, well, I like all the stuff that Apple includes with a laptop. And like a lightning bolt. I was like, oh, you mean all the stuff Microsoft would include, but they can't because of all the antitrust regulations?
Yes.
He had nothing to say to that. And that's, Microsoft would give you all the shit you wanted in Windows, but they can't because of antitrust. And Apple can. That's the only difference.
Mm-hmm.
Like, if you can, actually, if you want Movie Maker and all that, you actually have to go and download that separately off their website and add it into Windows. You have to opt in, so to speak, which is fine. But, yeah. Oh, I did play around with Chris's iPad, and they're pretty cool. I mean, I think the coolest thing is the battery life. The battery life is very, very good.
Yeah, you said you took, like, you were on the flight and all that, and, like, your laptop died at a certain point or something, but the iPad kept going, or...
Well, that was a different flight, but yeah, I think I watched Sherlock Holmes, which was but, God, I think it was only down to about 88% after watching a whole movie, and...
Wow.
Usually a movie would, like, pretty much just kill a laptop if you're in battery.
Yeah.
So, yeah, you could literally watch movies on that thing for, I don't want to say all day, but a long time. That was quite impressive. The screen is very nice. Other than that, it's just a giant iPod Touch. Oh, anyway, so have you tried those Tombstone garlic bread pizzas yet? I bought one the other day.
I think I had one once.
They're the same price. It's pretty good.
Hmm.
So, listeners, it's a Tombstone pizza, but up in the center of the package, it'll say, like, garlic bread pizza or garlic bread in, like, a green banner. Try them, because they're the same price, and the crust is thick and garlicky and
if you like garlic, of course.
Unless you're a vampire! So, let's see. What other... Oh, so you've been playing Red Dead Redemption Volver?
Yes. Grand Theft Horse.
Is it Grand Theft Horse?
It's pretty cool. I mean, yeah, it's basically... It plays like a Grand Theft Auto. Not that I've really played one of those in years, but... It's pretty cool. Like, the story seems decent enough, and the characters are likable, and it's just fun. Like, you don't have to follow the story, which, of course, you don't really have to do in any of these sorts of games, but, you know, it's fun to just go riding around on your horse, and you can go out and hunt animals, and depending on which ones you hunt and all that, you can level up certain mastery levels that you have, like, you know, shoot 5 coyotes and sell their pelts or whatever, and you get up to another level, because you actually can, after you shoot the animal, you can go up and, like, skin it, and depending on the animal, you'll get, like, different pieces from them, you know, that you can sell. Like, you kill a wolf and you can get its pelt and its heart, and I think there's, like,
what do you do with a wolf heart?
You sell it, and it's actually worth quite a bit of money.
Really?
Yeah, you go to, like, the general store, and you get, like, $12 for it, which is more than most of the pelts.
He's like, wow, you got an authentic wolf heart there.
It's pretty cool, and they have this, like, targeting mode. What the heck do they call it? Deadeye or something like that, I think. But it actually kind of goes into the slow-mo mode, and then you can go around and, like, you know, X, like, a bunch of guys on the screen, and then trigger out of it, and it'll, your guy will just automatically go and, like, shoot, like, the five guys that you marked.
And then he's like, you need four coffins.
My mistake. Five coffins.
Get off my lawn. Oh, I noticed you can, like, tie people up and put them on the railroad tracks, of course, yeah. Apparently.
Yeah, you can go around and lasso. You have to, like, break horses and stuff sometimes, too. So oh. You actually have to lasso the horse, and then you get on it, and then it's, like, trying to buck you off and stuff. So you have to, like, stay on it and break it.
Is it the best Western game ever made?
Oh, easily.
Is it the best Western hotel?
I don't think so.
Okay.
But it wouldn't take much for it to be the best Western game. But
yeah, I remember that Red Dead Revolver game on PS2 wasn't that great.
I never played that. I played that gun game, which was all right. It was kind of like, you know, an open world Western game, but the world was very small in it.
Uh-huh.
Where in this one, it's pretty huge. Like, there's a big chunk of it I haven't even been to yet, but you're kind of like in the Southwest United States, and then at a certain point, you have to go over into Mexico, which is where I'm at in the game right now. And then eventually, I think you go back into kind of the northeastern part of the map, which is back in America, and I think that's kind of like the wealthier area. There's like this city called Blackwater there.
Isn't it one of those westerns that takes place like near the end of the Wild West?
Yeah, I think it's supposed to be like in the early 1900s, because they talk about, there's one character you run into, and he's talking about how his wife wants one of those motor carriages, and things like that.
So I always like those kind of westerns the best, like the westerns at the end.
Yeah.
Like the shootest.
And There'll Be Blood was at the end, too.
Butch Cassidy.
Yeah.
That was not really one of my favorite westerns. Actually, I don't even think that's really a western, technically.
Nah, probably not.
Well, like, Dance with Wolves isn't a western.
No.
But Roadhouse is a western. It is. Think about it. Like, the town's in trouble, there's an evil mayor,
yeah.
And then Patrick Swayze comes in, because every Western starts with someone coming into town as a mysterious stranger who's always Clint Eastwood.
That's right. And he may or may not be an avenging angel.
It's like, I'm an ambiguous angel. Or what is it? What does he say in Outlaws Rusty Wales? He's like, how is it on Stains? And he spits on everything in that movie. Like frogs and dogs and people.
And he says, like, how is it on Stains? And
yep. What
the hell?
Get ready, old lady. Hell is coming to breakfast.
Yeah, he's like, how is it on Stains? Right after he spits on the guy who's trying to sell the shit on his white suit.
Oh, yeah. So wasn't Jennifer Connelly in Once Upon a Time in America?
She was.
And she was in Requiem for a Dream.
That she was. There's no doubt about that.
So, in Requiem for a Dream, which I recently finally saw, and it actually made me sick to my stomach.
Wow.
I
mean,
I didn't throw up, but I actually felt ill. I was like, ugh.
It's almost been 10 years since that movie came out. It was like,
I know,
November of 2000, I think.
So, October. Which character do you think got off the best? In the
got
end.
Off the best in the end?
Yeah, the four characters that got all fucked up.
God, probably Connelly, maybe?
Yeah, because she was scoring blow.
Yeah.
And probably blowing.
Just coked out of her head and whatever. But it's like Leto is missing part of an arm. Wayans was in prison, right? Mm-hmm.
But he had all his body parts.
That's true. Maybe he was going to get out soon, so maybe he wouldn't have been completely fucked, but... Then Ellen Burstyn, was she, like, in a psych ward at the end?
Yeah, because weren't they giving, like, electroshock therapy?
Oh, God, yeah, that's right. Ugh, yeah.
Oh, God, like, and you know,
and
I was
the
watching,
music, where it's like, dun-dun-dun-dun-dun.
Yeah, that's going between all the things that are happening.
Yeah.
You know, I'd heard that movie was pretty disturbing, but, you know, most of it, I'm like, this isn't that bad. And then when it got to, like, the last 15 minutes, I'm like, oh, this isn't so good at all.
Yeah, at the end of that movie really puts you through the ringer, because nobody's going anywhere good. And the trip there ain't going to be a treat either, you know?
So. I didn't take it out for the air. I'm Keith David. I was in Modern Warfare 2.
Ass to ass. Oh, Lord.
Keith David has like been around forever. Because he was in The Thing.
Well, he's the man.
So, what is... You ever notice, like, black people seem to age very slowly? What's with that?
Yeah.
Like, Morgan Freeman has looked the same since, like, ever.
Since he showed up, yeah.
I mean, that must be
He's
nice.
He's got a little bit of gray in his hair, but that's, like, the only change.
Yeah, I wonder how that works. It must be a genetic thing or something.
Because I remember when he first showed up, I'm like, God, this dude's got to be, like, 65 or something. Because he looked fairly old, like, when he first started
popping up and stuff. When he was driving Miss Daisy?
Yeah, you know, but... Then the years kept going by.
How old is he?
He's like 73, I think, because he just had his birthday the day after Clint.
They probably had a birthday party together because they're BFF.
They probably did.
Okay, well, I believe you.
I think it was 73, because Clint's 80.
So when driving Miss Daisy, he would have been, what, negative 24, 73?
49.
That's pretty young.
Yeah, but I mean, he's always kind of looked the same. But I remember, I thought he looked really old at that time, but then he's, like, stayed the same the whole time. So after a while, I'm like, well, fuck, he couldn't have been that old.
And well,
so
his hair changed a little bit.
Yeah, I mean, that's, like, the only thing that's getting gray, but the rest of him stays the same.
Well, Kevin Klein was kind of like that. I mean...
Yeah, until, like, just the last 5-6 years, and he's started aging. And that's mainly his hair, too.
Yeah. Who else has aged really slowly?
Oh, God, who's the other person?
Not Richard Dreyfuss.
Oh, God.
Richard Dreyfuss is, like, anti-unaging.
I'm Richard Dreyfuss.
I need some coke. This is no boating accident. Oh, they had an article on some website about what if Jaws was made today, and they listed all the things, and they're like, well, there'd be a backstory of where the shark came from.
Yeah.
And it would be genetically engineered, and...
As far as they haven't made Jaws Begins yet, you know.
Oh, don't say
it. Give them time.
They will. Jaws Begins.
It's like, yeah, they made that already. It was called Deep Blue Sea, and it sucked.
Well, it was an all right shitty movie.
Yeah, yeah.
Remember when Sam Jackson was giving that big speech about how they're going to kill the shark, and the shark
and
just pops
jumps
up and
out and eats him? And it was, like, one of the most horrible effects I'd ever seen.
Wow, in that movie, even. I mean, that because it was, like, a barrage of not-so-good effects.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, it's better than, like, Mummy Returns. Now, that was just abortionist.
Ugh. And it had Saffron Burroughs getting down to her kit in it, so,
you know,
what the hell.
Oh, but what about Lake Placid? Now, that was a hell of a movie.
It had Betty White feeding crocodiles.
She is the last golden girl.
I know. I was thinking about that the other day when Rue passed on.
She's got to be getting pretty old. Betty White, I mean.
She's got to be around 90.
Really?
I'd think. I know in... Not that this is, you know, everything, but I know in The Proposal, her character was 90 years old. And she's... She's got to be getting up there, like, at least in her 80s. Look that
Yeah, because in Golden Girls, which is an 80s show, they were supposed to be, you know, older, but that was, like, 20 years ago.
Yeah.
More than that, yeah, let's look it up.
Searching for the pertinent data here.
There she is. 1922.
Yeah, she's 88.
Damn.
She's running around, still working, doing
in there
Saturday Night Live and shit.
Well, shit, isn't like Clint Eastwood and Shatner like 80 now? They're both like about the same age.
Yep, Clint just turned 80.
Shatner doesn't look terribly old, but I think it's because he's kind of chubby. That kind of helps.
Yeah, and his hair, he must get dyed or something.
Yeah, Priceline.com. We've noticed like if women are like skinny, they look older a lot faster, or if they smoke.
Mm-hmm.
Just, again, like Richard Dreyfuss. We're like...
So Richard Dreyfuss is a woman who's skinny and smoked?
Well, kind of. Or like Carrie Fisher, you know, like...
Yeah.
What was like Return of the Jedi? She was like, what, 24, 23?
Well,
she wasn't that old.
Well, she wasn't just smoking cigarettes, I don't think.
I know, but you know...
I think she was snorting some lines and...
I mean, I didn't really know what age she was until much later, and then I'm like, Jesus Christ, she was that young in those movies? And
yeah, Star Wars, when she auditioned, I think she was 17, and damn. Then when they filmed it, she was 18.
And they didn't have bras in space, according to George Lucas.
No.
Only metal bikinis. He's like, okay, Carrie, they don't have bras in space. So. Oh, wait, I don't have a turkey neck at this time. Oh, never mind.
And it's really cold in space, too, so you know what that means, Carrie.
Yeah, so space is cold. That was a line from episode one.
Oh, that the is.
Universe is like, space is cold, Anakin!
Yeah, when he's over there shivering.
Oh, thought. I had this wild idea. This is a question to the audience. About having, like, you, me, and Dale, like, reenact the entire first Star Wars episode one movie. What do you guys think? Would that be a great podcast or what?
That would be pretty awesome.
I mean, we probably know all the goddamn lines anyway.
Pretty damn near.
They must be dead by now.
They're still getting through.
Close the blast doors.
We will not survive this.
Viceroy, I don't want this stunted slime in my sight again. Yes, I know. Well, okay. Well, we should see what people say about that, but I think we should do it anyway. That'd be fun.
That would be
We could
something.
Do it before Dale moves.
I don't think we can, because that's going to be like in a week or so.
Oh, that is impossible! I think, was it you that said a while ago, you're like, you know, Star Wars Episode 1, well, I know you defend it. You know,
I do.
Because you're secretly George Lucas's bastard child or something.
Where's all my money, then?
I don't know. I bought turkeys with it.
I'll have to call in some favors.
But I will admit, and you said this, you're like, well, think about the dialogue in it. Like, we've been quoting it for like 10 years. Because you just can't get it, because it sounds so stupid, you can't get it out of your mind.
It just sticks.
Oh, wait, aren't there parts we would have to speak in Huttese? I can't believe I know that. Huttese.
Probably. We could do it, though. Where you go, Feliz Kachu, Kalawuki.
Go clean the switches, then you can go home. To which, what does Anakin say to that?
Yippee.
Hyperdrive generator, be in luck. I was the only one here that has one. But you might as well buy a new ship. It would be cheaper, I think. I have a hat.
I hope you didn't kill anyone I know.
I am Liam Neeson, and I have absolutely no personality in this movie. Oh, next week, A-Team, right?
Oh, Christ, that's right.
Yes, it's going to be awesome. Actually, it's probably not.
I don't know if I'll go that far, but I'll see it. But it can't be any worse than the show, I don't think. So.
See, you know, I know we've had this conversation a million times. And that's how I felt about Dukes of Hazzard. The show wasn't very good. The movie wasn't very good. It was consistent.
Exactly.
However, the trailer for A-Team, there's no welding in it, so that's a little disturbing. I mean, I'm sure they do something.
But there is Hangover Guy in a tank shooting planes out of the air while it falls to Earth. Very Charlie's Angels Full Throttle-esque, which is disconcerting.
Just to see how bad it is.
Ugh.
Or is it that bad?
Well, if you watch it, we should just watch it for a shitty movie night, because it would be appropriate fodder.
I was watching some clips from Meet the Spartans on YouTube, because I was thinking about having that for a shitty movie night, and
yes.
It's pretty atrocious. I'm not sure if we'd be able to get through it. It might be like...
I don't know, we made it through Son of the Mask.
Yeah, I was just going to say...
And Alone in the Dark in the same frickin' night.
Your ex-wife almost did it. Wasn't she, like, begging us to turn off Son of the Mask?
Yeah, she was actually getting kind of pissed at one point.
I mean, it was pretty bad.
Yeah.
Think of it as pre-divorce revenge, if that makes sense.
Yeah,
actually, it doesn't.
Nice.
Preemptive strike.
Yes.
But it was pretty bad.
Yeah, unfortunately, I put myself through it, too, so...
It's like, I'm going to waterboard myself. Oh, no, I pulled the cap off my chair.
Oh, no.
Oh, there it is.
It will never be the same.
Oh, so apparently Rock Band 3 is going to have a keytar.
Has that actually been confirmed?
I know it seems highly likely.
I know there's been pictures online where they show the icons, and there's like a keytar type thing. And also there's the multiple microphones like Beatles has, so you'll have like multiple singing parts, which so I know we've said on here many times is like the thing that they need to add to the, you know, regular rock band experience.
Well, if they do it for duets, not necessarily harmonies, because let's face it, most people don't give a shit about harmonies.
Oh, of course.
But if it's like duets, like Islands in the Stream, that is what you are, blah, 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 blah.
That'd be cool. I mean, people could do backing vocals and shit, too, because a lot of songs have those, so it's like, you know, why the hell not?
Which means the Rock Band 3 songs probably wouldn't be backwards compatible?
I would not think so.
Do they have that telephone song on Rock Band?
I don't think... What do they have? They have Bad Romance,
Poker Face,
and, like, two others. I don't know if Telephone
Paparazzi.
Is one of them. God, I can't remember what they were.
You know, maybe some people give Lady Gaga a hard time, but, you know, she's just, like, insane.
Yeah.
And it's fascinating.
Well, it's like I think you said at some point, she's like the closest anybody's come to becoming like the new Madonna.
Right.
So, more power to her, what the hell. I'll admit, I enjoy some of her songs, so.
Yeah, because some you know, Christina Aguilera is like, oh, I'm going to be a slut. Or someone else, like, they have their thing, but Lady Gaga's like, fuck it, I'm just going to be insane.
Yeah, she's just, you don't know what the hell. People don't even know if she's a man or a woman, you know?
What's that? Did you see the video with Beyonce? It's just nuts.
Is that the one where she's got, like, the glasses with cigarettes?
Yeah, and, like, Coke cans in her hair. And
yep.
They go. It's just insane.
Yeah, I did watch that because I think you and Dale had mentioned how nuts it was enough times that I decided to check it out on YouTube.
So... How do you
epic.
Dump? What?
It's pretty epic.
What?
It's like
video?
8 minutes long or something like that.
And what is Beyonce's like? You've been a bad, bad girl, Gaga.
Gaga.
That's what she says.
I know.
And then go to the diner and kill everyone because he makes poison sandwiches. Oh, that's insane. It's like, you know, you see, like, the video for Poker Face. It's like, wow, this video is kind of weird. It's like, no, it isn't.
Was Bad Romance the one with, like, the burning bed
yes.
or whatever the hell it was at the end?
Right, where there was, like, sparks shooting out of her bra.
Yeah. Yes, yeah.
Yeah, pretty insane.
Oh, Lord.
Okay, so how do you dumb down... poker face. How do you dumb down a keyboard for a video game, I wonder? Less notes?
Yeah, it's... Well, I think it's... I mean, I think it'll literally be like a keytar where it's just like... I mean, you'll hold it like a guitar, I suppose, and they'll just have like the keys down here, and there'll only be five of them. Or maybe they'll have it where they'll have buttons up here, and you could hold one of those... Depending on which one you're holding up here, it'll make these do different things, like different effects maybe and stuff.
But wouldn't it have like, you know, like an octave of keys, like a guitar or a guitar?
But maybe that's what they'll do is they'll make it where you can do something up here with your left hand that will affect what these are doing down here.
I don't really know how a keytar works. Let's look up keytar on the interwebs.
The thing with the keytar too is it's like there's some music. Yeah, see there... But it's like, you know, there's only so many songs that'll utilize that.
Yeah, they're going to make Billy Joel Hero or something, or what?
Oh, that'd be kind of cool, I guess. Elton John Hero.
Apparently women like keytars.
I know people have been talking about that shit for a long time. Like, I think even before the first Rock Band came out, people were like, oh, they should add a keyboard, and I'm just like, why?
Hey, look, Cobra Starship, your favorite group, has a keytar.
Yes! Did they build a city with it?
Wait, no, that's Cobra Starship, not Jefferson Starship.
Oh, not Jefferson Starship. Shit.
You know, like, snakes
on a plane.
There's
too many starships.
Yeah.
Are they part of, like, the same alliance, Cobra and Jefferson Starship?
I think they're in the same airline, yeah.
Okay. Starship Airlines.
Troopers.
Well, speaking of Rock Band, I... bought my first ever Rock Band Network tracks last night, actually.
Oh, where did you get those from?
It's right in the game. But then when you go to, like, the music store, it gives you two options. You can go to, like, the Rock Band music store, or you can go to the Rock Band network. So you click on Rock Band network and then go out there. And
so what did you get?
Well, of course, I bought the two Bang Camaro songs that were out there.
Why am I not surprised?
Hey, they were only a dollar a piece. So one was Push Push Lady Lightning, which was on Guitar Hero 2, I think. And it's a hell of a song. And then Swallow the Razor was the other one.
Swallowing razors does not sound safe.
No, it's not.
But about Paramore? Do they...
they don't have any in there. Otherwise, I probably would have bought those, too. They do have that Bodies song by Drowning Pool.
Is Trent Reznor all up in Rock Band Network?
No, he's not, surprisingly. And I actually read something where he apparently doesn't plan to, like, release any more music to Rock Band, which is kind of a shocker.
Hmm.
But it sounds like him and this other dude that he works with, they have aspirations of making a video game. Like, they've been trying to get into the video game industry, and they have some idea for a game. So I don't know if that idea revolves around the Nine Inch Nails music in some way, and so he wants to hold on to it for
Nine Inch Nails
his own
hero?
Uses or whatever. But, yeah, I was kind of disappointed, because when I first heard about the Rock Band Network, I was like, shit, Trent, you know, they'd already released a bunch of Nail songs, and he does, like, everything himself anyways. It's like he'll probably dump their whole catalog out on there, but no.
So is a Rock Band Network peer-reviewed? Is it kind of like the Xbox indie games, or how does it work?
They say the way it works is, like, people create the tracks and everything, and actually if you're part of, like, the XNA thing, you can actually go out there and play, like, the, you know, beta tracks, or whatever you want to call them, and then they get voted on in there, and then the ones that are deemed to be of, you know, sufficient quality are the ones that actually get released out to be purchased. And then you get, what is it, you get like 20% or maybe 30% out of, you know, the money that's made off the songs. And it looks like, it's kind of interesting, if you go in there, it'll show who kind of like the creator is. Like, you know, it'll show like the artist, the song, what album, blah, 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 but then it'll also show like the creator, which I'm assuming is the person who actually did, like, the tracks for the song. And so it looks like there's, like, different people or companies, whatever, out there that are actually doing this for the bands.
How much are they?
$1 to $2. Like, the Bang Camaro ones were $1. There are quite a few others that were $1, but then some are, like, $2. Like, there's a bunch of Jonathan Colton songs on there, and those are all, like, $2. Those are ones where if they were $1, I'd think about buying a couple of them, but $2 seems like a little much.
Yeah, like I made a game with zombies in it. We should make an XNA game one of these years.
Yeah,
we've been talking about it forever.
Yeah.
I mean, how hard could it be? You can program it, and I'll do all the art and shit.
Nice.
And then, I don't know what it would be.
Then we'll make mad money.
Men.
Like Katie Holmes.
You had to go there.
Oh, of course I did.
Well, okay, so what about the movie Nine? So you finally saw it?
Just Nine, not Nine?
No, just Nine.
Okay. It's not very good.
Oh, for our listeners, there's two movies recently called Nine. So Nine was like the sock puppet movie.
And it was like the number nine,
right,
like for the title.
Which was, according to the advertising, directed by Tim Burton, which it wasn't, just like how Nightmare Before Christmas wasn't directed by Tim Burton.
Yes.
And Fun Nine, fact. Just Nine, that's the musical that nobody went to.
Yes.
Which the director then failed up to Pirates of the Caribbean 4.
Yep. Yeah, Nine, it was one of those annoying musicals where, like, the musical numbers, like, kind of bring everything to a standstill.
Unlike Chicago.
Yeah. From the same director.
Yeah, how would he... I mean, Chicago was awesome. I mean, how... It was like, oh, look, the musical numbers progress the story.
Yeah.
But Nine, they just come to a stop.
And
huh?
In Nine, it's... Yeah, it's the opposite.
So isn't Stacey Ferguson in that?
She is.
Stacey Ferguson.
Like, the only good song in it, really, was the one that Marion Cotillard had to sing. And she plays, like, Daniel Day-Lewis's wife in the movie.
Does Daniel Day-Lewis sing?
Yes. Everybody sings.
Does
that
he
thing.
Say, I drink your milkshake?
No, I think they cut that.
Damn it.
But, I mean, otherwise, if it were just a movie and not a musical, and they would have just expanded upon the story, I think it could have been interesting, because kind of the plot itself wasn't that bad. Because he basically plays, like, this director who's, you know, widely renowned. His movies have been successful, but he's coming off of, like, one that performed not so hot. And people are like, oh, you know, what's your new movie? You know, what's it going to be? You know, how are you going to rebound? And he's doing all these press conferences, and he's like, oh, yeah, blah, blah, blah. But meanwhile, he's completely blocked. He hasn't come up with a script yet, but they're moving ahead with production. And, you know, it's kind of about how he's dealing with that. And so I think that could have made an interesting movie, but unfortunately, throwing the musical numbers in didn't do it any favors. So I would say Sock Puppet 9 greater than Musical 9. And it was interesting, too, like, Nicole Kidman's in that movie, but you barely would know it. Because she's in, like, the opening musical number, and then she doesn't show up again until, like, what, an hour and 15, hour and 20 minutes into the movie.
And Goat Woman's in it, too, right?
Yep. She plays, like, Lewis's mistress.
I don't think Goat Woman is terribly unattractive. I mean, she's all right.
No, see, she's this interesting thing, which here's a topic.
Oh, boy.
Going back to our age thing from earlier, but it's like actresses who get hotter the older they get.
Juliet from Lost. She got hotter as the seasons went on.
Yes. And, like, Penelope Cruz is the same way. Like, when she showed up in Vanilla Sky, I'm like, my God, this woman's a goat. But
she's like, hello, I am a goat.
But in recent years, you know, it's like, oh, she's actually pretty attractive.
But what about Rachel Weisz? And Darren Aronofsky is her writer.
Well, Rachel Weisz just perpetually stays hot.
I think that's the only reason they went much of Mummy Returns, because it was terrible.
Yeah, but she looked fucking hot.
Oh, my God, she did. I mean, like, from the first movie to the second movie, it's like...
Yeah. It's like, wait a minute. We can let her hair down and take her glasses off and put her in some skimpier clothes, and holy shit.
Steven Summers like, let's try eyeshadow. They're like, all right, I'll try your blasted eyeshadow, but first, I'm going to go ride Darren Aronofsky, who directed Requiem for a Dream, my favorite movie!
Actually, she didn't ride him back then.
Oh. Okay,
that wasn't until The Fountain.
I suppose we should explain this, because it sounds pretty bad.
Yeah.
So, for Shitty Movie Night, we were watching the movie Aragon, which was about this boy and a dragon.
No, it's
but
not
he did not
good.
Learn how to train his dragon.
No.
This was an unsuccessful movie. Anyway, so in Aragon, which also had Jeremy Irons, who told everyone to be prepared. Getting off subject here. The dragon was voiced by Rachel Weisz, right?
Yes.
So at a certain point in the movie, the dragon was like, what did she say? She's like, you are my rider, mm-hmm. right, to the little boy.
Yep.
And then, so we were watching this, and Jones was like, Darren Aronofsky! Her husband in real life. You are my rider! That was pretty funny. I don't know if it was funny as Legally British. So it, what was it? Thunderbirds, another shitty movie.
Jesus.
With Ben Kingsley, because all shitty movies have Ben Kingsley in them.
Yeah, they have either him or Jeremy Irons, apparently.
Yeah. What was it? Sophia Miles was this British chick, and everything she had was pink for some reason. So was it Dale? It's like, wow, she's Legally British.
No, that one was actually mine.
Oh, okay.
Dale wasn't even there for that one.
Oh, yeah. Oh, don't forget the end of XXX2 State of the Union.
Oh, God.
What was it like?
That was actually awesome, though. Like, the final 20 minutes, much like the Wicker Man remake,
yeah.
The final 20 minutes were pretty awesomely bad.
So what was it? Like, Scott Speedman was the hero, right?
Oh, this is the Dale thing. Yeah, this one was pretty
good,
too.
Scott Speedman was the hero, and William Dafoe was the bad guy. And at the end, William Dafoe was trying to push Scott Speedman off this train. And Dale says, Godspeed, Speedman! Like from Spider-Man. It was so funny.
Oh,
God. Oh.
See, that's what we should do sometime, too, when we're watching shitty movies, is like record our shit.
You know what we could do, actually?
Like a commentary.
An even better idea, we could do like a Netflix. You know how you can invite people to watch Netflix
with
you? We could like do like a Netflix Mystery Science Theater.
Yep.
Because you can have a bunch of people in the room and talk.
Yep.
We should do that sometime.
But can you like record it? is the thing. Because well, I was thinking to like share it with the podcast audience.
Well, maybe I suppose you could point a VCR at the screen. but it'd be kind of like one of those like events, you know.
Yeah.
Say, okay, oh, send a friend request and blah, 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 and we'll invite
you.
Oh,
yeah, that's true.
Yeah, you know.
I see what you're talking about. How many people can join one of those?
There's quite a few seats. I don't know. I guess we could look into it sometime, but...
Yeah, that could be kind of interesting.
Because I'm sure there's plenty of shitty movies on the Netflix streaming.
Oh, yes.
Like, Sci-Fi Network.
Oh, yes. I think that's where we found the core, actually. That was on the streaming.
Oh, yes! Jones, there's absolutely no way we could host a streaming live event.
But what if we could?
Lovely Bones. Okay, I think we've wasted enough
of
your time.
I'm secretly going to direct... The Hobbit now.
Yeah, you called that one, didn't you? Guillermo del Toro's like, fuck this, I'm out of here.
And he's like, I got shit to do. And it doesn't involve living in New Zealand.
We have work to do.